do it. So you have in all of these stories, you know, all the human problems imaginable. And these were the people who constructed the Mishnah and the floor, the basic floor for Jewish life. Which brings us lastly to Rabbi Yehuda Hanossi, who is the culmination of the period of the Tanoim, the editor of the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda Hanossi was the son of the second Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. And in his time, the center of Jewish activity moved north to the Galilee. The Jews are slowly moving towards Bavel. So they moved first from Yerushalayim to Yavne, which was further south. And from Yavne, they moved up the coast. And now they began to move first into the lower Galilee, then into the upper Galilee. Chazal tell us, Acharei Rabbi Yehuda Hanossi leBet Sha'arim. In the city of the village of Bet Sha'arim, that's where Rabbi Yehuda Hanossi had his yeshiva. You can see Bet Sha'arim, the ruins of it today. It was a very famous burial plot. The Jews came from all over the world to be buried there. So there's the, it's a very famous series of caves there where the sarcophagi have been unearthed. And there's an old shul that you can see there, and an olive press. Was one of the beautiful spots in the Galilee is Bet Sha'arim, where Rebbe was. Rabbi Yehuda Hanossi is the combination person in Jewish history, the man who had everything. A descendant of Hillel, the descendant of King David, aristocratic, handsome. The Talmud tells us that he had a countenance that shone. Holy man, a pious man. He was called Rabbeinu HaKodosh, the holy man. The famous, one of the reasons that the Talmud says he was called it is because he never put his hand below his belt. So there's a famous story that Reb Meir Shapiro, the Lublina Rav, told. He said that he has balabatim in his shul that are like Rebbe. They never put their hand below their belt. Rabbi Yehuda Hanossi had as a dear friend, as a bosom friend, the man who later became the emperor of Rome, Antoninus. And even after becoming the emperor of Rome, after he was the governor of Palestine and then becoming the emperor of Rome, I discussed with you last week either Antoninus Marcus Aurelius or Antoninus Pius. He and Rebbe were in close communication. Rebbe was an advisor to the emperor. And the Talmud tells us that Rebbe was a wealthy man beyond description. The Talmud tells us that there were two people in the world that had fresh vegetables every day of the year. In a time when there was no refrigeration and none of the transportation systems that we have. One was Rebbe and one was the Roman emperor. And yet Rebbe was able to say on his deathbed to lift up his 10 fingers and say that he took nothing from this world. He had nothing from this world. The Talmud tells us that Rebbe himself attempted to undergo Yisurim Shalahava, to pain for to perfect himself. But the Talmud tells us that Rebbe was punished. Again, famous story that all Jewish children know or should know, that a calf was running in the street, ran away from the shochet, and ran to hide in the cloak of Rebbe, and Rebbe turned the calf over, and he said, "Ki lekach notzorta," you're created for that purpose. And that seeming lack of feeling justified the pains that Rebbe had. Rebbe apparently suffered from a very painful urinary tract disease. And the Talmud tells us that they would feed the animals of Rebbe's stable when he went to the bathroom, but that the shouts of Rebbe could be heard over the noise of the animals. And he was the head of the Sanhedrin, And his magnus opus, his great accomplishment, was that he took the Mishnah and he codified it and he put it in its final form.